Mars is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. I'm gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Friday, May 3rd, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us in the second hour every Friday is Pastor Chatfield doing a history lesson, a perhaps Bible lesson sometimes, Constitution sometimes, but definitely history. And we appreciate his efforts. And he's got a great topic for us today. Pastor Chatfield, this is interesting. Underrated presidents.
Right. In my opinion, hey, everybody. Everybody's got their own opinion. Mine is as valid as anybody else's, worth 2 cents. That, Even when we have the benefits of looking backward on history, it's hard to know. It's hard to understand everything. Okay, so I've got five underrated presidents. And the first one really surprised you because you've heard me. So I'm going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 to the most underrated president. And sometimes I change my mind on these things. But here's the fifth one, most underrated president, James Buchanan, the 15th president of the United States. Now, you've heard me say on this radio program before, he was probably the worst president in the United States history.
Right.
Why? Okay. Now, I'm...
Well, because he can still be a bad president, but perhaps underrated for what he accomplished. Is that what you're saying?
Here's what he accomplished. Nothing. He endorsed the Dred Scott decision, which was a terrible decision. He loved the country, I'm sure, but did not know what to do when Southern states started to secede from the Union. He did nothing. So there's as you will remember, Abraham Lincoln was elected in 1860. James Buchanan was a Democrat. He had but didn't run. He didn't want to run again, and they didn't want him, the Democrats. There's probably nobody more anxious to get out of the White House than James Buchanan. Southern states were seceding from the Union, and he didn't know what to do.
The country was basically falling apart.
It was. And what did he do? He didn't do anything. Now, he said, right, in his annual message to Congress, he said that the Southern states had no right to secede, but he didn't see. But on the other hand, Congress had no power to make them stay in the Union. He says, how can I, as a president, make these states stay in the Union? He didn't want any part in this. He wanted out. And
pass the buck.
Oh, for sure. He said this. He declared January 4th, 1861. He said, in this, the hour of our calamity and peril, to whom shall we resort but to the God of our fathers? He declared it a day of humiliation and prayer in the country because he didn't know what to do. Now, here's the story. You say, well, Pastor Chatfield, if he would have, maybe he could have prevented the Civil War from happening. Now, as Abraham Lincoln said in his second inaugural, and I'm convinced now, the Civil War had to happen. It was destined
to happen.
Because the country had to pay for the sins of slavery through blood. And by his doing nothing, now, maybe his, this is all in the sovereign will of God. Him by doing nothing allowed seven states to secede from the Union without any qualm. He didn't try to protect the Union's assets and the all the property of the United States, which was what Abraham Lincoln said. I'm not giving up anymore. No, I'm, you know, Fort Sumter. No, we're not surrendering. This is owned by the federal government. And Lincoln basically maneuvered the South into starting the Civil War and the firing of Fort Sumter. But Buchanan didn't do anything. But here's the story. As Lincoln said, that every drop of blood drawn by the lash would be paid by another drawn by the sword. That's what God brought on us. And by Buchanan's doing nothing, he helped produce the Civil War, which ended slavery and atoned for the sins of slavery.
Hey, Patriots, this is the boss of Veteran John, his wife, Jamie, in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth, Mega Water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, and veteran-owned. Go to megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com. The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
My name is Todd Smallenberg. I'm running to be your state representative in the 106th District. I took an oath to the Constitution and the American people my entire adult life. That oath has no expiration date. I will represent and fight for you, the people that elect me, not the folks in Lansing. Vote for me, Todd Smallenberg, and let's get Michigan back on track. Our kids and grandkids deserve a better future, and I am willing to fight for that. ElectSmallenberg.com. Paid for by Todd Smallenberg for state rep.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield today. He's doing his Fab Five list of the most underrated presidents, in his opinion. Started off with number five, President Buchanan, who basically allowed the country to fall apart before the Civil War, leading us up to number four. Who is number four, Pastor Chatfield?
One more word about Buchanan. I know that seems odd. But the country had to have this war. It was a necessary war. Blood had to be shed. Lincoln understood that later. Put yourself in Buchanan's shoes. It was a very difficult task. And so I get
difficult
that.
Difficult task to basically allow the South to secede from the Union, do nothing about it, don't retaliate, don't do anything, just sit there, let this thing happen, because it was God's plan. It was going to happen. Lincoln was going to get elected in a split race, all kinds of things happening in 1860. He basically had to participate, you're saying, as a do nothing, sit on your hands, just idly sitting by, waiting to pack your bags to get the heck out of the Oval Office.
Pretty well said. Yes, that's pretty much it. And I said he was a bad president, but I'm saying, okay, he was put in a spot that was unwinnable. Okay, so that's number five. Number four, underrated. These are just my opinions. James Monroe. James Monroe was the fifth president of the United States. So we have Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, and then Monroe. You know, Jefferson was the author of the Declaration of Independence. Madison is known as the father of the Constitution. George Washington is known as the father of his country. John Adams was a signer of the Declaration, a founding father. He and Jefferson were the North and South Pole of the Declaration. He was on the committee that wrote it. He was the leading, Adams was the leading person at the Second Continental Congress that was arguing for independence. All four of those are definitely considered, our founding fathers.
Yep.
Monroe, not considered as much. Now, Monroe was with Washington when he crossed the Delaware on that Christmas morning.
He was on that boat?
He was on one of the boats with Washington, yes. He was an aide to Washington. He fought very bravely in the Revolution. He was a young man at the time. Fought very bravely. He became good friends with Madison, served as Madison's, aide. And he was good. He was good friends with Madison. A lot of good stories about, I read a book about how Madison and Monroe were in the first Congress, were both going for the same congressional seat, and they traveled around their district together, slept in the same room, and debated. That was back in the day where you could disagree with somebody and not think that they were a traitor. But that is, it's an interesting book how they, the debates of Madison and Monroe ran for the same seat. But he became what we would call a Democratic Republican, a Jeffersonian. But a lot of good things happened with him. By the time he took office, the Federalist Party had more or less collapsed, and his presidency was called the Era of Good Feelings. A lot of good things happened, and he was a caretaker president. You know, most of our greatest presidents, talk about Washington, Lincoln, even FDR. Now, FDR was he's one that greatly expanded the role of the federal government, which we don't like. However, he was a wartime president, and the people liked FDR. He was elected four times. The people, by and large, liked him, and so he was a leader, and he's been given a lot of credit for that. Okay, but as we've said, we're conservatives. We did not like such an expansion of the federal government that he oversaw, the Social Security Act in 1935 and all these new, but he was a wartime president.
Let me ask you this question. What specific things did Monroe do that you think qualifies him to be called underrated?
Okay. He was a caretaker. 1817, the Rush-Bagot Treaty, which was basically – it was agreement with Great Britain that we agreed that the Great Lakes region would be disarmed and we settled the border again. And so we got the border up there, the 49th parallel up there, in North Dakota and Montana, the Great Lakes are the borders. And so, you know, it was time for us to make peace with Great Britain. We would never go to, after the War of 1812 and with this treaty, you know, Britain became more or less an ally. There was no more conflict with Britain again. Now, there was the threat of it, oh, again, with in 1844, with where would the Oregon Treaty be? Excuse me, where would the Oregon Territory be, the line be settled? Some of the Democrats under, and this is another guy that I thought was underrated, James K. Polk, a Democrat, but, you know, some of the Democrats were saying 54-40 or fight. Now, that's later, 1840s. But in the end, we settled on the 49th parallel. So that's the longest unguarded, or at least not guarded by the military, border in the world between us and Canada. Okay, the Rush-Bagot Treaty of 1817 was in under his administration that the United States expanded again with the purchase of Spain. Purchase from Spain of Florida, an important advancement. So if you start looking at a map of the United States, by 1819, when Florida ceded that to us for some money, you can pretty much see where this where our border is going. It's going from ocean to ocean. Didn't make it quite yet then, but it would in about a couple of decades, three decades, it would make it all the way to the Pacific Ocean.
Right.
Okay. And so it's
and that was some massive expansion of land. I mean, hundreds, millions of acres. That really changed the entire footprint of our country.
Exactly right. And it was during his administration. His Secretary of State was John Quincy Adams, and that the Monroe Doctrine was established. The Monroe Doctrine is it said, quote, that the Western Hemisphere is not to be considered as subjects for future colonization by any European power. We would consider any attempt on their part to extend their system to any portion of this hemisphere as dangerous to our peace and safety. So basically, it was Monroe Doctrine, which was and still is a standard foreign policy in the United States.
So basically, he put Europe on notice. Don't even think about going over to California in the Pacific region. Don't even think about trying to conquer or take over that territory, that landmass. We are in the process of doing it, and we're putting you on constructive notice not to do it.
Anywhere in the Western Hemisphere. This was directed a lot to Latin America. We did not want Spain coming back. We didn't want any European nation coming to the Western Hemisphere, North or South America.
Okay, South America.
And we basically declared that we're going to oversee the whole hemisphere. Now, we were writing this. John Quincy Adams was his Secretary of State and did a lot of writing this. And it was a thought, should we make this a joint statement by the United States and by Britain? In the end, we decided, no, this is the United States. Because it was said, John Quincy Adams understood this, and he was a brilliant man, John Quincy Adams. Not a great politician, but a brilliant man. He said, if both of us come out with this statement, it'll look like just a statement of Britain. We'll come out with it. We'll preempt Britain. And Britain was for it, because Britain just wanted to trade with these people. They didn't want to, they had no more designs on the Western Hemisphere. They still had Canada. And they still had, you know, Australia, and they were expanding. Yep. Fact is, I don't know when Britain took Australia, but it was somewhere in this neighborhood. But anyway, I'd have to look that up. But the Monroe Doctrine still. I mean, we can go all the way to the Cuban Missile Crisis. We were not going to let the Soviets finish these missile silos. It was a violation of the Monroe Doctrine in the early 1960s.
Yeah.
So it's very important in our policy was James Monroe. And he had a difficult task, because there was no crisis for him to manage.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing when you're confronted with a crisis as Lincoln was. Boy, you have got to step up. You have got to. Now, that's where greatness shows itself. But when there's no real crisis, that's a little bit more difficult. It was also during the in 1820, during the administration of Monroe, that the what became known as the Missouri Compromise was signed. That was the from the earliest part of our country, even from the Constitutional Convention all the way up to the Civil War. Slavery was like a cobra curled up and sleeping in the corner of the room. We did not know what to do with slavery. There were a lot of people who didn't like slavery. A lot of people did. And Monroe himself, although he believed that slavery was immoral, he had slaves. I know that sounds, how can that be?
Right.
Well,
you're either a businessman or you're not. And that's what they did at the time.
Yeah, I know a lot of people hate when I say this, sound like I'm defending slavery, which I'm not. But Jefferson knew that slavery was wrong, but he didn't know what to do with it.
Exactly. So what was the Missouri Compromise?
Okay. The big issue was always, okay, we want to keep a balance of power in the Senate so that neither North nor South can get a majority so that either one expand slavery or restrict slavery, keep it at status quo. So okay. Missouri wanted to enter the Union. Should it be a slave state or free state? Here was the compromise. Missouri would enter the Union as a slave state. We would divide up Massachusetts and create another state, Maine, which was owned by Massachusetts, and it would enter as a free state. And from now on, the southern border of Missouri, 3630 parallel, no slavery above that. Okay, so no, and the South was good with that because, look, slavery didn't make sense in the North. But we can have slavery south of Missouri, but not north of Missouri, and we keep the balance of power in the Senate, and we won't go to war. Now, people that could see things coming, like John Quincy Adams, when he saw it coming. John Quincy Adams says, I'm sure this is only a prelude to a tragic volume in American history. In other words, this compromise, which avoided war and avoided conflict, would only last a little while. As you know, or I've tried to teach you guys, in 1854, when we have the Kansas-Nebraska Act, the whole thing's blown up.
Yep.
That was, but it kept peace for 34 years. I guess it wasn't time that slavery could be abolished, but it would be. And there's a lot of history in between. But I give Monroe credit as being a underrated president.
Yeah, I totally forgot about the Monroe Doctrine. And of course, John Quincy Adams, I always joke, especially after watching the HBO series, John Adams, he was so brilliant because he was homeschooled by Abigail.
Yes, he was maybe the smartest president we've ever had, John Quincy Adams.
Well, he had a pretty smart teacher in Abigail. I love Abigail, and the actress that portrayed her in that series did a great job. Want to wrap it up here, heading into the bottom of the hour break. Who is lined up to be number three?
Calvin Coolidge.
Oh, boy. Here we go. CC.
Yes.
No, that's not Canadian Club Whiskey. That is the initials for Calvin Coolidge. And, of course, that's the college in Michigan, right? Calvin College.
That would be after John Calvin.
Or John Calvin. That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. On the Hour News Break, we'll continue with number three, Calvin Coolidge. We'll be right back.
Michigan News.